I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
My fat cat, eh?
I'm recording.
Shiva just came downstairs and he's a fat boy, man. He's a fat, fat boy. It's because my boyfriend's mom looks after him and doesn't understand. Like, just doesn't. I get it, though. I do understand when you don't have an animal that you don't, that you, like, don't understand the seriousness of situations. But with an indoor house cat, you can't overfeed it or it's just gonna get really, it does. He doesn't do any fucking, look, he's got his ears back. He doesn't do any fucking exercise.
Being disgust.
She would feed him his normal food and then like a fucking packet of treats a day. These treats that we had for the 2 years of him being alive on this earth were gone within a month, and now he's 6.5 kgs. 6.5 kgs.
I can't understand what that means, but I understand. It's like the grandma energy. You just want to spoil. You don't want to be disciplining. You just want to be the fun time.
But anyway, so now I've been allocated doing exercise with him every day, which is making him play for at least 10 minutes.
Oh, you make him. And what's that? Just running around?
He just has to run around. We also bought this, that ball thing you see on the couch is supposed to disperse biscuits so that he'll play with it so he can get the food out. But he's so fucking lazy.
When you're in a bit of a rut, it's hard.
I know. He hasn't got much to live for, this boy. He can't go outside.
What is the, like, how does it work with cats? I always wonder.
What's the question?
Like, how do you choose whether a cat's an indoor cat or an outdoor cat? And, like, where it's the cats you see on the street, like, how do they just remember where their house is and know to come back?
Yeah, they use smell to figure out where they are. So they're completely fine. Once they've lived in a house for like a couple of weeks, you can let them out and they're generally fine. But it's literally just that we can't let him out because there'd be no way of him to physically get back inside this house because we're on the second story. But also it's funny because you feel really bad not letting, I feel really guilty not letting him out. But at the same time, so many outdoor cats, like they don't even go anywhere. They just sit like right outside the house. And it's obviously nice for them to have fresh air and stuff. But this house is quite big and airy anyway. Mm-hmm. And he would literally just sit outside. And then they're way more likely to get hit by cars and die really early. So I think it's like the life expectancy for an outdoor cat. I'm going to Google this because people are going to get upset. Is like, wait, I'll tell you what I have in my brain. The life expectancy for an outdoor cat that I have in my brain is 5 years and an indoor cat is 14. But I think I, indoor versus
what a
outdoor cat.
Disparity.
Okay, the lifespan of an indoor cat ranges from 10 to 20 years, whereas cats who go outdoors typically live only 2 to 5 years.
2 to 5?
Which isn't, like, obviously true for all, but it's because they'll get hit by cars and stuff.
Mm. And what, people just have a cat flap for them to come back.
Yeah, and they also get attacked by other cats. Remember my cat in in Sydney and New Zealand? It got attacked by another cat, and then I went crazy and threw a grapefruit at the cat. Because you just, yeah, it's scary. It's
no, stressful. That would be scary. A grapefruit, it's a funny.
But I would, weapon. I wish he, yeah, I think he'd like to go outside. But again, Grandma was like, she said she opens the windows from the bottom. From the bottom up.
And even I know that that's a no-no. Yeah, I
was like, you literally can't do that. We've told you so many times. Like, it makes me feel crazy. And she was like, only a little bit. Like, only a little bit. He can't get his head out. And we were like, he can push it up.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. Obviously, I don't have kids, but I could just so imagine this being a thing with people who have kids. And then, like, they let the grandparents look after the kids.
The grandparents who came of age in the swinging 60s and, like, don't give a fuck.
And then they just do shit that you wouldn't do as a parent. I could see how frustrating that would be. Because you'd just be like, I've worked so hard to put all these rules in place. And now you just have people, like, coming in and, like, completely fucking it up.
Yeah, I know. It's very frightening.
I'm sure it would cause a lot of fights.
Drama. Like, people who are really gnarly about their kids having sugar, which I used to think was really annoying, and now I think it's so legit.
Yeah.
I think sugar is, like, the worst thing.
Yeah.
Possibly ever.
So yum, though.
I think worst thing since cigarettes, but even more enjoyable than cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I wasn't allowed really anything.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed anything that had obvious sugar in it, but, like, now I look back and there was just all those things that were branded as healthy for kids.
Actually,
that were
yeah.
pumped full of sugar.
I think I had Nutella on toast, Nutella on white toast for breakfast, like, every single day.
Yeah, like, white bread, you know. We didn't really have it that much, but it's, like, pumped full of sugar.
But is white bread the same thing as sourdough? No.
No.
White bread is just bad, and sourdough is made in a nice way.
Yeah, I think so. I wish I knew. They're calling Alzheimer's now diabetes. Like, they want to call it diabetes 3 because of how strong the links are to it being a sugar thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's super crazy. It makes sense to me because it wasn't...
That's why I can't remember anything.
You have early onset dementia.
From all the cookies.
I know. In my head, I'm like, sugar is bad. But then when I think about what sugar means in real life, I'm like, it just can't be bad. Cookie.
Yeah.
Cookie.
A special little dessert.
Yeah, like a tiramisu can't be bad. It's more like those super gummy, those things that look so processed and crazy that I think of as what I think of as sugar. But sugar's everything.
Well, yeah. And obviously you mean when we're talking about this, you're not talking about natural sugars.
Yeah, being like bad. processed sugars.
That's crazy.
I know, it really freaks me out. Because my grandma had dementia quite young and she worked at Nestle.
Oh my God.
Yeah, for like her whole career. And she would always eat all the off-cut chocolate bars that like they fucked, like were wrong sized or whatever. They would just bring up and she would just have drawers and drawers of them and would just drink coffee and eat chocolate all the time. And I always think about it. I'm frightened.
That's crazy. I've had so much sugar and chocolate this week. No, like an insane amount. Like the other day I had on the table a chocolate brownie, vanilla ice cream, a chocolate sundae and a fresh frozen creamsicle, which I don't even know what that was. And last night we had 5 desserts between 4 of us.
A fresh frozen creamsicle.
I didn't even know what that
Why
was.
Why do you have so many desserts on a table? Just by yourself.
Eating them. Where no, with one other person. At like a diner in New York.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just here. No. At home.
No.
When you get in that mood, nothing is enough.
I landed from New York and walked straight into Gales and bought a cinnamon bun and ate it while I was walking home. And I was just like, yum, yum, yum. And I could hear the woman behind me because her son wanted one. And she was going to him, darling, that has a lot of sugar in it. Why don't you just get a croissant that has a lot of sugar in it? And I was like, shut up, woman, and stop ruining everybody's day. It was like 6 a.m.
A cinnamon bun does is very sweet.
They're my favorite things.
There's a lot of them in Stockholm. There's something about cinnamon buns being Swedish. They're from there. Yeah, yeah.
They're Swedish.
Something about, you know, Fabrik. Have you had a Fabrik one yet?
That's the Swedish bakery. That's what they're supposed to be. They're in the cinnamon bun
universe. Cinematic
Fabrik
universe.
Ones are supposed to be some of the best in the city. And then there was like this big thing when Buns From Home opened.
That was beef.
Well, there was just like conversations between me and other cinnamon bun enthusiasts about which one was better. And we had people like traveling across London to try the two of them together. And I do think Buns From Home typically are better, but also Buns From Home sometimes just don't have enough crisp on the outside. Like, it is very soft.
Okay. Yeah, I think Zach's a Fabrik man.
Yeah, is he?
And I was excited to show him the original.
Shiva, please.
A very precarious situation.
Get on there. Okay. This is a stressful table right now. What did you just say? You were excited to
see the OG Fabrik in Stockholm.
Yes.
Because I didn't know it was Swedish.
Yes.
A local institution. That's an unlikely combo. Like, the Swedes are so cool.
What? Meatballs. Cinnamon buns are so cool.
But that's what I mean. I'm like, they invented cinnamon buns. Like, I just don't think of cinnamon buns in Sweden.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know where I would think of them as being from. They kind of feel more American.
Yeah, or like Turkish cinnamon.
Yeah.
Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a lot of meatballs in Stockholm and I don't think I like them.
No. Oh, that I don't eat them, but yeah.
They love like a grazing plate, like meatballs, pickled cucumbers, potatoes, other things, bits and pieces. Featuring
other little bits and pieces.
Yeah, which I quite like the smorgasbord. I like that way of eating, but meatballs make me feel a bit sick.
Yeah, they're so gross. I feel like I don't even want to say this in the podcast because I feel like I don't even know who I am anymore. But last night I tried a tiny bit of chicken liver pate and it was so fucking disgusting. It was so disgusting. It tasted like cat food. And I was like, but I was also just like, I can't believe I'm eating this from someone who didn't eat chicken for their whole lives and is now just eating.
Yeah, you've gone full 180.
Like liver. But I guess I'm just like, well, from eating chicken, you're just eating chicken. But then I like tried a little bit on a baguette and then I was like, this is so disgusting. It made me feel so sick. Yeah,
how they get liver for pate is quite immoral.
Okay, don't tell me.
Yeah, it's not good. But it's. I used to really like it and I've had a similar thing recently. I had some at a work event recently and I felt quite disgusted by it. It's so rich and like heavy and I think it's something we're just told
is
we're supposed to like.
Well, you're told it is it supposed to be like a delicacy?
Yeah.
There is so much food that's supposed to be a delicacy that's disgusting.
Yeah.
What's the one that I really don't like? Oh, I don't like caviar.
I quite like caviar, I have to say.
I think caviar is gross and I think escargot is gross.
Yeah, escargot is gross. And even oysters, I don't mind an oyster, but I...
You used to love oysters.
I used to love them. I know. Now I'm like, now and again, but I don't...
No, I don't like them
I don't
them
fuck with them en masse.
Yeah. They were such a you thing.
I know.
Back in the day.
I think I was excited to have discovered them.
Yeah.
But I like them when they're like doused in Tabasco and lemon and thing, and I think that that's a very like pleb way to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, off oysters. Just want a simple fries and a Caesar salad. You know, fries and a Caesar salad and Diet Coke is like going off on TikTok now. Like everyone's realizing we all separately love it as girlies.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
I think I did know that. I think I did know that that was like a trending thing for a while.
There's some sort of feminine.
And the martinis.
Instinct with to just want to eat that.
Yeah, it's delicious. Fries would definitely be in my death row meal. French fries, thin, crispy, McDonald's style fries. I have to tell you a curse thing that happened actually. Speaking of food and fries, I went to the airport at JFK and I was like on this cheap flight back to London and hadn't bought food on the flight because I was like, I need to sleep immediately. Like the minute I get on this flight, I'm putting my eye mask on, taking melatonin, almost murdered the mother in front of me. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. It was another thing that like dried my ovaries up where I was like, you are not even a human anymore. You were just a mother. She was literally going A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And her daughter didn't even give a fuck. Her daughter was like, shut the fuck up. Like, oh my God. And then anyway, shut up. You're on a flight. And then her daughter would like be like, her daughter would talk a little bit loud and she'd be like, inside voices, Lily, inside voices. Sure. And I was like, your voice is the loud voice. Yes. Your one. Jesus.
Don't worry about Lily.
Fucking
worry
Christ.
About
and I tried to put my earpods in, even though I knew my earpods would fall out when I was asleep. Because I was like, I can't hear this woman. And then my earpod fell down the side of the plane and she was still singing.
It's torture.
So anyway, and then before I got on the flight, I was like, okay, I'll buy food from JFK. And then I get in and the options were hideous because I was in like this cursed terminal, like Terminal 7. And when no like made up airlines are flying from, I think I was on like Norse Airways or something. Yeah. And I like went up to the only place that looked like eatable. That's, I don't even know if that's a word, but that looked like actual food was this burger place. There was like no McDonald's, no nothing, but there was this burger place.
Non-franchise outlets only.
Called True Burger Co.
Stop.
And
only at T7.
Yeah, and I lined up and then there were like two touch screens where you could do your order, or there was this like employee who literally looked like she wanted to murder me and herself and everybody in the thing. Like, she was drinking, she was standing there sipping on this like big soda, just like, what the fuck do you want? And for some reason I went up to her. I was like, too scared to eat. I just wouldn't eat meat at a place like that. And I was like, can I get an Impossible Burger and fries? And then I was like, can I get one of these waters with the combo? And she was like, no. I was like, okay. And then anyway, I was so scared. So then I just ordered that, went away. It was like $20, of course. Stood in the line for ages. Then I looked at the menu and it was like, you can add unlimited amounts of extras, like jalapenos, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, I'm obviously too scared to talk to her again, so I won't. And then like 15 minutes later, it comes out. I go and sit down, open the packet, and it is a bun, an Impossible patty, and another bun.
Stop.
Nothing. No sauce. No lettuce. No tomato. No onion. Nothing. Just that, because you're supposed to like customize it. And that fucking bitch
that
knew.
Girl,
that
oh
fucking.
My God.
She knew, and she just let me order like that. And I was like, "Fuck you."
She needs to be fired.
And then I just ate it because I couldn't go back, and it was actually yum. I was like, I do like a simple thing, and I probably would have if I customized it, as with everything, I would have like gone overboard.
That's my, when I'm at Five Guys, I exercise restraint. I am true to my own instincts, and it's just onion, bacon, jalapenos, ketchup,
in a bun.
Yeah. And
what is Five Guys?
Five Guys, the burgers. They're
so
the best.
But just bacon burger?
No, like it's got a burger patty or whatever. Okay. But those are the only add-ons, because you can add on as much as you want. But in the past, I'm like, lettuce, mayo, tomato, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't actually want it.
Yeah.
I want simplicity. Yes. I want an easy life.
Yeah. When I ate that burger, I was like, this is actually, me and you are so similar like that.
I know.
Just like,
I was bland
just,
girls.
Yeah, bland girls. I love beige foods with no, I don't even give a fuck about sauces, which
same.
So many people listening to this will be like, what the hell? And I don't care. I don't need sauce in that burger.
Yes, you ever said Chick-fil-A, the best Chick-fil-A burger is literally chicken, fried chicken, one pickle, like one little pickle,
yes,
and a piece of cheese and no sauce. And everyone's like, no sauce? I'm like, you don't need sauce.
Yeah, because it doesn't come with sauce.
No.
At Chick-fil-A, you order a burger and it doesn't have sauce in it.
It's perfect. I wish, if I could have founded any company, it would be Chick-fil-A.
What company would I have founded? Maybe Subway. With their like,
I fucking love
gorgeous
Subway as
cookies.
Well. Yeah. Subway at its peak. Why can't they just make their cookies nice anymore?
Are they not good anymore?
They're always dry. Because I'm probably sitting there for like 7 business days because no one cares. And then the best Subway is the chicken classic, and they don't sell it anywhere but in Australia.
Really?
Confusing. Have you had one since
you? No.
Oh my God.
And that's why, there's some odd things that happen. Like when I was screaming, apparently, allegedly, at the McDonald's, the thing, the speaker thing, because I was trying to get a chick fillet of fish at McDonald's at midnight, and they said they stopped serving fillet of fish at 11 p.m.
What?
I was like, that's a made up rule. I was that like, that is made insane. Up because I've eaten like, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I think it was at that specific McDonald's, and they wouldn't do
just
it
for you.
And I forgot that this happened, and then the other day someone reminded me
because we had to
go through the drive through. We had to go round in a circle twice.
McDonald's have such stupid rules. Like, I remember being in Tasmania and our last flight out had been cancelled and Jetstar were, like, putting us up in a hotel and it was all just a mess. Yuck. And everything was shut except McDonald's. And they were like, you can't come into the store after 11 p.m. You have to do drive-through. But we didn't have a car, so we walked through. And they're like, you can't walk through drive-through. And I was like, stop making it so hard for me to popularize your business.
Yeah, I just want to eat some food, and if I'm not here in a car.
Yes,
we had to do that at In-N-Out once in America when I was like 19. They had the same rule, and so some guy, I've already talked about this on the pod, but this guy let us in his car.
Yeah, that's what we ended up doing. We ended up like,
yeah, that's not heralding. Safe.
That's so unsafe. Yeah. This like Wolf Creek van pulled over, and we were like, no, it's fine. We'll starve.
Oh, you didn't get in.
Not that one, but we got in another one. We got in a taxi.
Not that one.
Terrible.
The good old days when taxis used to take you through McDonald's before they got all, like, annoyed about it.
Why are they all so, like...
I think they just get grumpy about their cars stinking of McDonald's, which I guess is kind of fair enough.
They're so
But
grumpy
I always offer
now.
To buy them some. They don't want it.
Can you also explain why Ubers hate it when you want them to take a package somewhere?
I know, I'm like, that, surely,
my dream.
I guess, well, do you know what? I think it's because people are useless on the other end.
Yes, and won't, they've got to sit around.
And they're just sitting around waiting and, like, contacting you and being like, dude, this person needs to come outside now.
Yeah,
that would be annoying. When it would be fucking annoying, because I guess they're not really getting paid for sitting there.
But worth it for a ride in silence.
Worth it for a silent ride.
With just a package for company.
Yeah, they have Uber package now.
That's what someone was telling me. In Australia, it's Uber package now.
Yeah, there's Uber package in LA, but it's not here.
They don't have it here yet.
So they had to send your mic to your house the other day, and I had to do a normal Uber, and I was, like, scared.
Yeah, I get scared too. I had to do one yesterday, and I was like, sorry. And I had come up with a backstory.
What was it?
I was like, I don't even know why I do this. It's, like, such a people pleaser. I was like, I was meant to come, but something's come up, and I have to go, but I have to deliver this package to someone. And he was like, what? I was like, can you just take this to this address? Sorry. Oh, it's so sick.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, on to... This story popped up when I was in Stockholm and my flight was getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And I was getting lit alone in the lounge. And this was manna from heaven when the story came through. It was an Apple News pop-up, Vanity Fair, deep dive on Brad, Angelina and Miraval, which is their winery in Provence. And this is a proper good old-fashioned Vanity Fair of the past. Style reporting, which they just don't really do anymore, and I think it's a real shame.
Yeah. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's War of the Rosé. I love that title. Ugh. From the offset. I love that rosé is kind of at the heart of the story.
Yes.
Because rosé obviously, and this is part of the story as well, so Brad and Angelina got together in like 2006, right? Or 2005.
Five, I think.
When they met on Mr. and Mrs. Smith, as everyone knows, and then they started looking for, they went on a holiday in 2007 into the south of France, French Riviera, and decided they wanted to buy a place there. And so they were hunting around. They finally found this amazing old winery, this huge amount of land, and bought that. But at the time, the wine that Miraval was releasing just like wasn't that great. And they just wanted it for the space and like to be away from Hollywood and just be able to kind of have somewhere they could go and chill and just be in the middle of nowhere. But then Brad started getting like obsessed with making the wine good, because they said that they were losing like €500,000 a year. But the people who sold it to them were like, when we sold it to you, it was profitable, but who fucking knows?
And that guy like loves, he's really cute and shouted that the guy who sold it to them wanted to stay on and be doing the wines. And there's just quotes from him all the way through being like, the wine was so delicious. Like Brad said, the wine was so, like he's just trying to justify.
I know.
Them abandoning him.
I know. And then, so how Rosé comes into it is some, I feel like I'm skipping it. There's so many great details that I feel like I'm like skipping ahead, because we have to talk about the desk as being how the rosé came into it.
Yeah, we need to do like a
and it's, it'll go
para by para, yes, analysis of this piece.
So they buy the property. They start spending heaps of time there. Brad Pitt buys Angelina Jolie a desk for her birthday or something, right?
Yeah.
And they go into so much detail about this desk that this is the first point of the piece where you realize Brad Pitt likely ghost wrote this. Like, they talk about this desk as if it's like the most beautiful present anyone can get anyone. Okay, before the fights, before the combustible court documents, before the lawsuits that have crawled through the courts for 7 long, increasingly toxic years, there was a desk. A wildly expensive lacquered, I never know how to say that word, lacquered desk. Inspired by 1920s French design, ordered long distance by Pitt as a birthday present for Jolie. Inside one of its drawers was a special inscription by Pitt and a constellation inlaid mother of pearl honoring Jolie's Gemini birth sign.
He wanted the fact she was a Gemini in this piece, I know, as part of his own spin.
I know.
And this is how he got it in.
Yeah.
He basically said, this bitch is a Gemini.
She's a Gemini. Art Gemini. And I rest my case. Literally, she's such a fucking story. Gemini.
Jolie was delighted by the desk, the latest exhibition of affection from Pitt. It went in her office, which Pitt had painstakingly redesigned. He wanted it exactly right for her, says Gary Bradbury, a Miraval director and head of security. He thought the world of that woman.
Getting like, Gary Bradbury as your fucking source?
Gary to wheel out
some he's the
clothes.
Only one that will say he adored that woman. Gary Bradbury, like, come on.
He is quoted throughout and heavily. He is, like, number one on the record source for this piece. So this, for context, this story is about, as we've said, the legal battle over Miraval, but it reeks of Brad Pitt PR spin from top to toe, to the point where I read it and then felt he had a few things that popped out in my head that were funny, but was feeling team Brad, and then thought, oh, my God, I'm being duped. I need to go back over it and, like, read with a fine tooth comb.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, Gary Bradbury saying he thought the world of that woman. Lo and behold, an unnecessary paragraph on a desk that he bought Ange.
No, but what you were saying before was so funny. You were like, just where are all the gifts that Ange brought Brad? I'm pretty sure she bought him a fucking plane at one point.
Yes, she bought him a fucking plane and got
he bought her a desk and inscribed it that she was a Gemini. It's like, that is so irrelevant that there's like an inscription in a desk. Like, are we really gonna bring up like birthday cards?
If she was any other star sign, that detail would not be in.
I if literally, she was a Pisces, absolutely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's very funny to me that things like this, even in Vanity Fair, can still be so one-sided. Like, all you need is a line in there saying, like, the couple famously always bought each other extravagant gifts. Jolie 1 year gave Brad Pitt for his 50th birthday a blah. You know what I mean?
A desk isn't even extravagant. Like, shut up.
They're trying so hard to make it seem extravagant. Even when they said inspired by 1920s, I was like, it's not even vintage.
Yeah, what? Did he just, yeah,
it's just
a new
inspired
desk.
Yeah.
So then, so the point of, like, I guess what how the desk fits into it a bit, or how they've, like, made it relevant, is because who's this Pollaro guy?
Yeah, the designer.
This guy.
Frank Pollaro.
They flew in to, what, put the desk in the room.
Yeah.
And then Pollaro had drunk a bottle of Miraval the night before, and Brad Pitt asked what he thought of it, and he said it was gross. And then Brad Pitt was just like, oh, I don't know anything about wine, but I'd like to learn more. And then later in the piece, someone was like, what kind of wine did Brad Pitt drink at the time? And the person goes, I think he drank Heineken, which is really jokes. And then anyway, this guy gives Brad Pitt like a really nice bottle of wine from the region, and then Brad decides that he wants to make Miraval wine really good. Which, like, to his credit, if all of this is true about how much he did do to, like, turn the winery around, and he brought on these amazing winemakers and put in heaps of money and time and effort into fostering this wine. But I'm also like, who gives a fuck? Like, it's like I'm just like, if you both own the wine, you know, men yes. are always doing this shit. Like, men are always fucking around with their little hobbies. And, like, Andrew's inside, like, Andrew's inside raising seven children and, like, it says at one point that Pitt was off this is like men versus women so hard. It's like Pitt was off like on some other venture trying to launch a luxury retreat or something, and she was at a like refugee camp in Jordan where there were 60,000 Syrian refugees, and that was where they both flew in from the night of the Last Supper before they got their divorce the next day, before the plane incident happened the next day. But back to the desk. So then Brad has this fucking meeting where he's going to hire someone to oversee the wines. And someone then suggested rosé and how rosé was going to have a comeback. And comeback it did.
Yes.
At that time.
So I didn't realize that Whispering Angel was like the birth of rosé coming back into fashion. And they say rosé was always like the neglected kind of cheapy
because it was so sweet
thing. Yeah. And that Whispering Angel just launched and went nuts, especially in America. And so, yeah, this guy from a famous winemaking family in France wanted to create like a competitor brand. So the meeting Brad Pitt and Brad Pitt wanting to create a distinctive wine from his winery, it all just came together with perfect timing. And they decided to launch Miraval Rosé, which apparently is quite famous. I haven't personally heard of it, but
yeah. So it says that it all began with a signature wine, Miraval Côtes de Provence Rosé, whose revenue reached 50 million in 2021.
Pretty good.
Pretty fucking good. So yeah, but what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, I was gonna say that thing about like Pitt doing these hobbies, like making the wine really good. I mean, that is, it's so confusing, isn't it, with shit like this, with a divorce, because it's like kind of just on a larger scale, that thing of like men continue working at their jobs, women are raising the children, and then when they go to get a divorce, it's like the man has all the money because he continued doing his job and the woman gave it up to like raise a family, and then suddenly she's like kind of fucked.
It's so true, and it's also that thing of, so basically the reason that they're fighting over this estate is because it's now worth a lot more money than when they bought it. And in part because Brad Pitt has put a lot of this like energy and time into making the wine more profitable. And he's also created this kind of music studio based out of there and his weird skincare line that we talked about last year and et cetera, et cetera.
He built a petting zoo and filled it with rabbits, goats, chickens and peacocks.
God, he's random.
He's so annoying.
But it was in like legal contract or whatever when they purchased the place that it was evenly split 50-50 and that he owned 60% of the Miraval wineries, and then when they got married as a gift to Ange, he gifted her the extra 10% to make them equal partners for an honorary fee of €1. So on paper.
And then in the brackets it goes, which was never paid.
Which was never, like he's she's not actually meant to pay it if you're doing it as a gesture. But so they both legally own it. So I get he's going on about how much more work he did for it. But like you say, this is the huge thing that always happens with divorces, where it's like you having the freedom to do all of this stuff because the mother was raising your children at home. Like that's an uncalculatable.
And also she's choosing to she's also choosing to spend her time doing UN work. Yeah. Like she wanted to be at Miraval so that she could that's where she wanted to like do her UN work and wanted to have like meetings there and business there and all of that for that. and he's busy like making fun rosés outside in the sun,
yeah,
and building petting zoos, and now he's like, well, oh, he's so annoying. But also, yeah, how the piece, the other bit where you realize this is such a spin piece for Brad Pitt is where they go into their backstory about getting famous and like, wait, where is that? I need to bring this up. So they began as mere mortals. The daughter of Midnight Cowboy star, like La La La, talking about how Jolie was a wild child. At age 5, she wanted to be an actress. Then Girl Interrupted led her to get the Best Supporting Actress Oscar, a film I haven't seen and which I'm like now gagging to see.
A fab, fab film.
And then it goes, by then, this bit, by then, William Bradley Pitt was already a star. He'd arrived in Los Angeles from Springfield, Missouri, in a battered Datsun with $325 in his pocket. The astonishingly handsome son of a trucking company dad and stay-at-home mum. He dropped out of college 2 weeks short of graduating with a journalism degree. He told his folks he was moving to LA not to act, but to go into graphic design so they wouldn't worry. Unlike Jolie, he had no movie star dad, no contacts, nothing but a dream.
Stop.
Nothing but a dream.
Like,
that is so cheesy. How much did they pay this writer
to write that sentence?
He stood in the streets in a yellow El Polo logo chicken costume, waving a sign to beckon diners inside. Like, what?
That's crazy.
And drove exotic dancers to their strippogram appointments.
Sounds about right.
That's crazy. And then it goes, in May 2000, Jolie, then 24, married 44-year-old Billy Bob Thornton in Las Vegas. That July, Pitt married friend star Jennifer Aniston in a $1 million wedding in Malibu. Nobody is more better suited in life than Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston. Like, when you actually look at that.
Yeah.
And Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton. Like, I know. How did these two even come together? I find it so random that Angelina Jolie was ever into Brad. I know Brad Pitt is hot.
Yeah.
But I find it really random that she was ever into him.
They obviously had this, like, as this cursed anecdote that is reprinted in this piece attests, like, the most insane, deranged sexual chemistry. Just, like, off charts, like, chaotic.
Beef head to me.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
But then also, I guess he's all, like, art boy as well.
Yeah, he loves, like, architecture and
making those little sculptures.
Making sculptures.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm like reading him wrong or something, but I just don't get how. I just feel like she's so evolved as a human being, and she would have been so, I don't know, she just would have seen so much of the world.
Yeah, I agree. She's too cool for him. Always was. But it says in this piece, where is this little segment? This is quite a famous story, I think. I did recognize this, but I'd kind of forgotten it.
What are you talking Search about?
Search wounded animal. Okay. And when they had sex, well, it sounded like a wounded animal, like someone being killed, read a tabloid report about their Kenyan getaway. When the noise emanating from their $2,000 a night suite was supposedly so loud that worried guards grabbed their weapons and rushed to their door. And I'm like, that to me makes their whole relationship slot into place.
We didn't need to know that. We didn't need to know that. Jen didn't need to know that. Also, this just takes me back. Well, they have it in this piece, which is like, they have this in this piece, but it takes me back to how they were having the affair on Mr. and Mrs. Smith. In January 2005, they issued a joint statement saying they were going to split. And on the weekend Aniston filed for divorce, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie posed for a W Magazine portfolio, portraying them as a Mad Men era married couple. That to me is so crazy. Just shows how different journalism is today. Like, I'm just like, in what world would you, why did either of you do that? They're just dumb, young, and in love. But I'm like,
they're dumb, young, and in love. And I think we also now forget that, like, Brad Pitt was very, very famous, obviously, and Angelina Jolie was very famous, but it was the two of them coming together that made them, like, the insane, insane Hollywood megastar, like, golden couple of our era thing. That was almost produced because of them getting together and getting married and having all of those kids. So at the time, they were obviously very famous. But, like, now you can't imagine them ever agreeing to do that because they're Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, whereas at the time they probably had a bit less.
Yeah.
Pull, but still, it's insane. He either didn't think... Do you think he knew he was getting divorced when he agreed to that shoot, surely? they'd wrapped filming.
Oh, as in like it could have been a Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, it was a Mr. and Mrs. Smith promo thing.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was them doing it as a couple.
No, no, no. It was like a promo for the movie.
That's why I was so shocked. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But...
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why it was like a play on the assassin thing, is like them just being a little domestic couple at home. But you'd think they'd be like, no. Like the kids and stuff.
They're bossing. Yeah.
What a time.
So this is really interesting. The piece then goes into what goes into all of these kind of like court document things, where it says by the time of the wedding, Angelina Jolie had stopped investing money into the winery, but she denies this. And then like they got married there and they had their twins there, which is like quite crazy. And then she said as well in a email to him in 2021, 4 years after she filed for divorce, even now it's impossible to write this without crying. Above all, this is the place we brought the twins home to, and we were married over a plaque in my mother's memory, a place where I thought I would grow old. Sad. And then she was like, but it's also a place that marks the beginning of the end of our family. But then, it goes into how when they divorced, they were like fighting over the winery because, as you say, it was making so much more money. But then, wait, what is it again? She that email was her offering for him to buy her out.
Yes.
Because she was just like, it just has bad memories for me now.
So she wanted to be bought out, it seems like relatively early. And he, as he basically agreed to buy her out at whatever the value of the property was, which was like a high amount. It was like $50 million or something. As part of it, his lawyers tried to get her to sign some sort of NDA where she couldn't say anything that would harm the business by speaking badly of Brad Pitt. And obviously that was kind of a tricky thing to put her in a awkward position, because she's like concurrently going through this custody battle. And with that stuff about what happened within their marriage was likely to come out, and that would damage him and therefore the brand. So she basically pushed back and said she's not signing an NDA where she's never going to say anything bad about Brad Pitt, because that like limits her ability. It's kind of like putting a gag on her in a way. I totally understand why she wouldn't want to.
Yeah, of course. To be able to speak about like her own alleged domestic abuse. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And like the strong, amazing woman that she is, I'm like, she just would never sign that. And then so he refused to sell. And I just think this piece is trying to portray him as like a poor man who put all this energy into this winery, and she's being a bitch and won't sell it to him. And it's like he literally just could have done it and saved himself all these problems, but he refused. And then so she's,
as in to take that out, you mean?
To take that out and just sell it and have it done, and he owns the company, then they can just continue their other like court cases. That's what he wants, is to own the whole thing. So because he refused, she sold it to another buyer, which again makes 100% sense, because I'm not like accusing Brad Pitt of anything here, but it's such a thing that men do with women after divorces, where they just keep them tethered to them through financial control.
Yeah.
And I know she's in such a unique position where she's a multimillionaire and she's totally fine on her own, but they've been broken up for like 8 years. She would just want to cut off all ties, like as many ties as she could to being with this person. And
also like the memories of that winery, and like the way, and she was just saying like things like, an ad campaign of the winery showed Brad Pitt like looking like he'd passed out from drinking. And she was just like, that is so fucking insane. And like, I don't want to still have my name on this when it's releasing imagery like that, that makes me remember like traumatic times.
Yeah, totally. So she then sold it to a Russian like billionaire, her 50% stake, which basically means that Brad Pitt is now co-partners with this business that he, or this person that he has never met, has nothing to do with. It's like a kind of hostile business takeover situation, because now he's expected to share like all business decisions and have full transparency with someone that he doesn't know, and someone that could like theoretically be pushing to control more of the company, et cetera, et cetera. So now he's really angry at her about that and saying that she wasn't allowed to do that. But I'm just like, this is your fucking fault.
Yeah.
So basically now why it's gotten so messy and complicated is because he's not working. Brad Pitt is refusing to work with this new owner because he's saying that the sale was never legal and is fighting that in court. So the new owners are fighting to
He's like sued Angelina, right?
I think so, for
selling it.
Yes.
So that's the one court battle. And then didn't she countersue him?
I don't think she's countersuing him. I think the new owners are suing him because he put in his documents while suing her that she'd sold to a Russian business with ties to Putin, and that that was like really, really bad PR and press for his brand, especially during the Ukraine war. And now those owners are countersuing Brad Pitt for accusing them of having ties to Putin when they've said that they've risked a lot by speaking out against the war and that it's defaming them to say that. So now there's just lawsuits and counter lawsuits on all grounds. The new Russian owners have also basically tried to get all internal documents from how they're running the company to get transparency on whether or not Brad Pitt has been running the company like efficiently and fairly and whatever. So they had a like FBI style raid on the property and like took all these documents, and they're now sitting in a court in the south of France while Brad Pitt fights the legality of them to do that. So he just has a bazillion horrible things on his plate, and obviously doing this piece for Vanity Fair is him trying to get like sympathy and his story out that he's been totally wronged. But I just think this was his fault.
Also, it says, it has to say in the piece, like all the shit that happened on the plane. Which is, yeah. Where does it say? This is for the kids. Everything was for the kids and the family. What does that say? Someone in the chateau. But it's like, yeah, it has to go into the plane stuff. Which when you read it again, you're just like, this is so fucked. And like Angelina hadn't said anything about it. All that we had were like TMZ things, TMZ articles, the fact that the FBI had been called, like all that shit that happened at the time. That was like obviously the biggest news story of our time. Right, and that happened. It was so crazy. And you're just hearing like all these like reports of whatever, like an altercation with Maddox and like that Brad Pitt was drinking and stuff. And he obviously came out and did that like big GQ fucking shoot saying he'd gone to rehab and was recovered. And how annoying would that be for Angelina Jolie to see? She stayed completely silent about all of this. Then he tries to whack her with an NDA so she can never speak about it. And then during the custody battle, she finally said it. And the whole thing is like really, really intense and so scary. Like at one point he choked one of the children, and at another point he hit another one in the face and was physically assaulting her. Like, that's insane.
Literally insane. Like, dragged her into the bathroom and was like shaking her and like hit her head against a wall, and the kids were like piling on him to get him off her. And she has throughout this whole process just been painted by so many people as like the same fucking school book as the Johnny Depp shit, as just like a woman scorned, getting retribution, getting revenge. And it's like, she's done fucking nothing to get revenge or retribution. Like, she...
Also, how the fuck, like, that's so scary that this is happening in a plane.
Yeah.
Like, she grabbed him from behind to hold him back, and then he threw himself back into the airplane seats to whack her against the wall.
Yeah.
To get her off him.
And these are, like, young kids all aged between, like, fucking 7 and, like, 18. Like, it's such a traumatic thing to experience. And they landed, and he wouldn't let any of them off the plane. And she was trying to strategize how to get them off the plane without him losing his shit. Sitting with your kids. Like, it's fucking awful. And no, so that's scary. Fully out there. And I, like, no one knows it. I've, like, through this week just been talking to people casually about it. And people are like, whoa, was it actually that bad? It's,
yeah.
He's done this weird job of, like, managing to sail through without people being outraged by it. Whereas when you actually think about the logistics of it, if you saw that happen, like if there was CCTV footage of it, people would be so appalled and disgusted that people wouldn't want him to work anymore.
Exactly. I find the whole thing really crazy. And like the fact that this all came out and then he was like in one of the like supposed to be biggest movies of the year last year with like huge film posters still all over Hollywood. Like the whole, I don't know, him and the Johnny Depp thing just makes me feel so icky. Like when I was walking through the airport and I just saw like Dior Sauvage, like with this huge poster of Johnny Depp, and like, do you know what? I was just like, do we have to, like, do you know, do we have to hero these guys right now?
Yeah. 100%. And like just the audacity to
to then...
Like, I would just fucking bury my head in shame if that was me and just keep my head down and, like, whatever, you know. You're allowed to, like, people do fucked up shit and it doesn't mean you can never ever work or have an existence again. But, like, the audacity to then go out and, like, be creating, intentionally creating these kind of spin pieces that are, like, a hit piece on your ex when you know that that story is going to be in there. It's just so astonishing to me. It's so male.
Mm-hmm. And also how he talks about, like, how they're having this custody battle. And it's just like, and didn't Angelina say at one point that she'd talked to the kids and they were happy to testify about mm-hmm. what happened. And then they, like, declined that happening.
Yeah.
It's just like, let the fucking children speak about who they want to have custody over them.
Yeah. And there's obviously, like, that kind of thing doesn't just happen in isolation. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably the buildup of a lot of, you know, the buildup and the worst case scenario of escalating behavior. But, like, she obviously, there's obviously a lot more that she could talk about and say that she's not saying and that she hasn't revealed.
Yeah, like, if he's going to pull her into a bathroom like that yeah. and start, like, screaming at her in front of the kids, that obviously isn't the first time that's happened.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like it was the first time it happened in front of the children.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts.
And it's crazy as well because it was, like, the night before they were at this winery having this big dinner on this outdoor table, and then the next day he, like, flips, and he was obviously an alcoholic, and he said he was an alcoholic, and he says this at Bradley. I was like, Bradley, fucking trio of disgusting men, like, fucking Bradley Coupe. I didn't know he did, like, some speech and said that he'd helped him get sober.
I know. I don't want to know. I'm so sick of these men in Hollywood.
I know, they're so feral.
I know. I'm just sick of them. And I just think, like, this is just the thing with women is Angelina Jolie has taken such a dignified silence and done no press, no big interviews. And if she did, it, like, all power to her. If she does in the coming, like, weeks or months, one day she probably will do a sit down and talk about her side of the story. But for literally this all happened in what, 2016?
Yeah.
This is like 7 years of obviously for the sake of her kids and obviously wanting to be fucking classy. Very similar vibes to Kim Kardashian, like not wanting to talk about how hard this divorce has been for her because of wanting to protect her children and like act in their best interest and look after their privacy. She's obviously not done anywhere near as much work as she could or perhaps maybe would have wanted to do. She's just kept out of the spotlight. She hasn't done this very obvious, like, hiring a publicist and briefing and being seen in certain ways and doing stuff and, like, styling herself in certain ways to get photographed. Like, all this shit that Brad Pitt has been doing as this big plan strategized, like, PR spin. She's just kind of stayed away and done her own thing. And because of that, people just start to internalize the messaging that's out about her.
Mm.
That whole thing of people like, I don't know why, but I just don't like her. I don't know why, but I just, like, I feel like that seeps in over time.
She spoke to British Vogue, like, in that cover story where she said that she kind of just said little things about, like, how hard it's been and how she's just, like, I don't know, because it's that crazy thing of when that happened, she was, like, still in love and still married to this man, and then she just filed for divorce just like that, like, which is so incredible to just be, like, absolutely not, like, this is not happening on my watch. And then... But at the same time, she would have been going through so much heartbreak, like,
yeah,
and trauma. It's, like, crazy.
And even, like, we think about now those pictures of, like, Brad and Jen at the SAG Awards and everyone on the internet being like, oh, my God. And just this fucking, this whole time, he's just ridden out completely unscathed.
Yeah. Someone in the piece at the end goes, this case has been covered as a celebrity divorce. It is really a story about abuse. But then someone else on Brad's side is like, I hope you'll give some grace to somebody who had a breakdown. Everyone was shocked by the eruption on the plane because Brad is not an abusive person. It's like, you just can't say someone who abused their wife and kids yeah. is not an abusive person. Like, yes, alcohol and addiction and stuff makes people do crazy things. And, like, we have to have, yeah, it's just tricky, the whole thing. But, yeah, it's also just... sad that it's being played out in this like such a public way. And all of this, like, the reason it's playing out in such a public way is because Brad keeps dragging them through these lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like Ange was never going to reveal that stuff on the plane publicly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And now she had to because of that, and now he's dragging her through another one when she just sold the fucking winery
because she just wanted it gone. It's just like this obsession with controlling narrative, controlling the thing. If he just sold again, it just feels like such a male entitlement thing to like force her hand in this situation and then just create all of this extra, like the lawyers and the thing and the headache and the financial stress and the logistics of this whole thing, because he wouldn't just like do the simple, easy thing and quietly let her sell her stake to him mm-hmm. and just run it however he wants
mm-hmm.
because he is obsessed with making sure she doesn't say anything bad about how he looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then kind of pushing this narrative that you're like a victim in this situation. Very frustrating.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Also, she just wants to do her fucking like UN work and launch a little fashion line. And
that is random, I have to say.
Yeah, it's
Atelier Jolie.
I know. I know. I don't really understand it. I mean, I know it's all from like repurposed materials and really sustainable, but there are already sustainable brands out there.
Who is she looking at? You know how we always say this? We're like, who's her references? Like, who's she? Does she want to be like the Ro? I kept thinking.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
But it's so not, she's just not like a fashion girly.
I know.
She always looks beautiful, but she's not, that's not really her thing. So it feels, it's like when we looked at Brad doing the skincare and it felt random, there's got to be some sort of ulterior motive. Like, the skincare line was definitely about bolstering his legal case.
Yeah, for claim over the thing. Winery.
Atelier Jolie, not sure.
I haven't looked into it in detail.
The launch collection is a partnership with Chloe.
Yeah, I heard that. Or a partnership with Gabriella Hearst. Is it a partnership with
Chloe? It's with Chloe. And Gabriella Hearst just left Chloe, which is, again, so random. Because I'm like, Gabriella Hearst and her feel very aligned.
Yeah.
But Chloe without Gabriella Hearst and Angelina Jolie.
It's all confusing. It's like maybe she wanted, I don't know. Someone just convinced her into it.
Even the branding. Have you seen it?
Vaguely.
I'm like, this font?
This font?
Are we sure?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What is this font?
Yeah, like,
it's, Chloe beside it looks so insane.
It's giving Canva. It's giving, could have had a few more goes in
it's
there.
It's giving like small plates wine bar in East London.
Yes.
That's what it's the giving font plonk. Is.
Yes. Even the branding is a little bit that. And they put up on the Instagram calling for skilled tailors. And I'm like, that's...
It's very... Archwell.
Yeah. Do you see poor little Meg's pod got cancelled?
Did it?
Yeah.
They're probably going to get fucking sued soon.
Yeah. What was the other one they were going to do? They've got a lot on too.
A lot on their plates.
They've got a lot on their plates. I listened to a good pod about Harry's legal case, and I'm a bit worried for him, I have to say.
If you want to hear more, we're going to go directly to Patreon, where we're going to talk about that. And also, obviously, Natalie
Rearing her head.
Natalie Beach is back.
Baby.
If you don't know who that is, it's Caroline Colloway's former best friend and ghostwriter, who that should say.
She's like a mononym, like Adele. She's just Natalie.
I can't believe Natalie's back. With a book.
Back with a book of essays.
Fucking hell. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.